maintenance outsourcing, labor issue, or real safety problem. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Outsourcing of maintenance by U.S. airlines has become a hot topic, but it got especially hot when the Consumer Reports March edition generated public concern over the safety of the practice. Last week, the union representing mechanics for United said the airline has violated negotiated outsourcing limits. So is this just about lost union jobs, or are there real safety issues here? My guest today is Joseph Prisco. He's the president of the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association Local 9, which represents mechanics at United. We're here to talk about the United situation in particular and the outsourcing question in general. Joe, we're catching you at Chicago O'Hare International, and you've just come out of a meeting, a quarterly meeting with United. What is this meeting about?
It was just a routine meeting that we have every quarter where they keep all the unions updated, and we had a presentation to the leadership from around the system for the aircraft mechanics. And it's a normal quarterly review that we go over the information at a very high level for the company in general. And we had specific talks about the audit controversy as well.
Okay, yeah, the timing worked out well for you to be able to bring this up when it was a hot topic. Let's go over your press release from April 2nd just a little bit. And I'm going to read briefly from it. An independent maintenance audit exposes that United Airlines violated a key clause of its labor agreement with the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association. The audit conducted by an independent accounting firm found that UAL exceeded the contractual limit by 50%. What it's saying is that you guys have an agreement with United Airlines that outsourcing of maintenance will only be 20% or less of the total. And according to your numbers, United Airlines outsourced 30% of the total. The company comes back and says, no, we only outsourced 16% of the total. Where are these differing numbers coming from?
Well, it's basically the methodology used to determine the amount of outsourcing. United's position is that they don't include anything in the numerator except for estimated labor that was outsourced. It's not even an actual number that they're using on the top. And that's where the basis of the controversy is.
Okay, and meanwhile, the denominator of that fraction that's used to come up with this percentage to evaluate against the contract also contains what else?
Well, it's the actual cost of maintenance, which would be materials, rent, overhead, capital spending, labor expense, everything that it would the total cost of ownership to do the maintenance is in the denominator.
Okay, so for non-math whizzes, this is basically a case of it not being apples to apples on the top and bottom of that fraction. Okay, now, how did the auditor's report come to be? It says it was done by a firm that met the approval of the airline to do the audit. Was this something requested by the union, or is this something that happens routinely?
Well, since 1994, there's been language in our contract that allowed a certain amount of outsourcing, which was 20% of the total maintenance budget or the total amount of spend. In April of 2003, the first round of bankruptcy negotiations, one of the concessions that the previous union gave was that heavy maintenance would be excluded from that calculation, but it would still be 20% of what was left after you excluded heavy maintenance, which is basically the overhauls of the aircraft. Then the second round of bankruptcy negotiations, we wanted the ability to audit that function, basically. Was the company properly reporting what they were actually outsourcing? And we needed to be able to audit that. And we knew that we couldn't do it as mechanics. Our math skills are limited, and we wanted an independent outside person to be able to verify, is the information we're getting from the company true and correct? And that's where this audit sprang out of. It was basically an agreement during the bankruptcy that, okay, we're going to give you the ability to audit the maintenance budgets.
Okay.
And this was the first one that we did.
All right, now,
for the year 2005.
Okay, now the word bankruptcy casts a long, dark shadow over aviation these days, but in this case, you would not have the ability or have won the concession to be able to audit the airline's accounting of this without the bankruptcy proceeding. Is that right?
It probably would have been a little bit more difficult because the company really wanted consensual agreements without having to go force concessions down on the unions. And to a certain degree, we were forced into concessions, but we came to an agreement short of mandated concessions But one of the things that we asked for was some limited job protections and also the ability to audit the budgets.
Okay, now I know that there have been some things discussed in this meeting that you're probably not privy to share with the rest of the world, but in general, how are things going at United? I mean, is this thing going to turn around to the satisfaction of all involved?
Specifically towards maintenance, things are going okay in maintenance. I mean, we're struggling with this transformation to an MRO, but the union leadership very clearly believes that this was a very good decision to actually pursue customer work. You know, the company could have just as easily in bankruptcy said, you know what, we're not going to do any of our own maintenance anymore. We're going to unload as much as we can and not take on any customer work. AKA an example that would be Northwest. They don't do any customer work. So in that regard, it's going good. There's challenges around implementing lean in the MRO concept, developing customer relationships, all that. This dispute right here is what I would consider a huge bump that we're hitting in the road. I don't think it's going to derail anything, even though some in the company might feel that if the union's successful in winning our argument, that it may somehow make the MRO venture uncompetitive, but we disagree. You know, if you have to bring some work back in, then the work that you choose to bring back in should be work that you could also make money at mm-hmm. as well. You know, the economy of scale would make it worth your while to bring something back, because you're contractually mandated to bring it under 20%, but then you could also sell the capacity to do work for other customers, other airlines. So,
okay,
we're still very much in tune on that. I think it's just it's basically the company's hasn't expressed a fear, but my general impression of it is that they think that if we win, that it's somehow going to tank the company. I don't believe that. Well, you know, the union's been very successful in solving some very high-profile problems for the company recently, and it takes a crisis for us to be able to get in to solve those problems. I've expressed this concern before with United that we always wait until there's a crisis to solve a problem. What about predictive problem solving? You know, we've already shown that we can solve problems when there's a crisis. Let's talk about solving this stuff before we have to elevate it to the crisis, which is the same thing that's happening here. We're in crisis mode because everybody thinks that there's some giant problem that's going to hit us if we win this audit dispute. And we don't see it that way from the union side.
Okay, in general, do you think that things are going to work out for United? Do you have a fairly high degree of confidence that United will come through this whole process and be okay?
My general feeling is a yes, because, you know, as the president of a local, if I didn't have confidence in the ability to go forward, I wouldn't be doing this job. You know, I would have punched out a long time ago and gone to another company or moved on to a different skill. I like aviation. I think most of my members do. And we just need to be able to show the company that, yes, you can save money, but you can also make money by working with the union. So, and this is just one of the things. This was an agreement that was made between the company and the union to not outsource more than 20%, to try and steal excess ability to outsource by saying that the method wasn't correct is improper in our minds. So
all right.
Apples to apples is what needs to be used.
We have talked somewhat about this specific controversy and about United in particular. When we come back from our break, I'd like to talk to you just for a few moments about the whole state of outsourcing of maintenance in general and the controversy it's generated recently, if you've got a couple minutes to talk about that. Our guest today is Joseph Prisco, who is the president of the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association's Local 9. And we'll be back with more in a moment. This Aero News special feature is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V220 and V300T engines.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
When was the last time you checked under the hood of your car? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years that you almost never have to raise the hood. Why can't an airplane engine be just as simple and just as reliable? Now it can. Check out the new V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services. They're made of aluminum, so you get the best power-to-weight ratio in general aviation. They're FADEC controlled. What about your new glass cockpit? The engine management system works seamlessly with most multifunction displays, so you can get minute-by-minute updates on just how well your V-engine is performing. Add it up. A lighter, more powerful engine. Liquid cooling to reduce sudden temperature changes inside the engine. FADEC control. True glass cockpit interfacing. And an engine that runs more quietly and with less vibration than other piston engines. The AES V220 and V300T. As simple as a car's engine, but oh, so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at VAircraftEngine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is general aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt, and my guest today is Joseph Prisco, who is the president of Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association Local 9. And Joe is talking to us from Chicago O'Hare Airport, where he's just come out of a meeting with officials of United Airlines. Joe, again, thanks for taking a few busy minutes out of your day for us.
Okay.
Tell me about Local 9 real briefly. Is that based in the San Francisco area?
Yeah, Local 9 represents the United Airlines mechanics in San Francisco and Hawaii, and we also have about 200 members from Alaska Airlines that are in L.A., San Francisco, Oakland, and the state of Alaska.
All right. Now, this whole idea of outsourcing maintenance has become a really big deal, and especially in the last month or two because of the Consumer Reports magazine article that was done, kind of an expose on this, implying that the public should be worried. I want to read a little bit from your press release and talk about this issue about whether it's really driven by safety of the public or driven by the jobs concern, because I know a lot of people, when they hear a union protesting an action like this, one of their first things is, well, of course, they're a union. They're going to try to protect their workers' jobs. Your press release last week said of the United outsourcing, quote, "This means millions of dollars of excessive outsourced work that translates into hundreds of lost jobs. Since 2001, the number of mechanics and related staff represented by the union at United fell from 15,000 to 5,600, unquote. That obviously is a huge concern to you guys as a union. How much of this debate is really driven, though, by protecting jobs, and how much of it is driven by concern over safety for the public?
Well, it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, it would be ungenuine of me to say that jobs have nothing to do with it at all, but there have been some very clear indications that safety may be compromised as a result of outsourcing. And we're not the only one saying it. The Department of Transportation has made two separate reports detailing that they don't believe that the FAA is set up to properly manage the outsourcing and monitor the compliance. And just last week, the DOT again said that they don't believe that the FAA is up to the task at the present time. Our lawyer put it very clear during our press conference last week that, you know, just because nothing has happened that's high profile doesn't mean that there's not an erosion of safety. You know, he gave an example of a man who jumps off a 10-story building, and as he passed at the 5th-story window, you know, somebody yells out and says, "How are you doing?" And he goes, "I'm doing just great. I'm not injured." But what happened? He's on a downward trajectory. That's what we believe is happening with safety, that because it's spread out so many different places, so many different vendors, that it makes it harder for compliance to be monitored. Well, and then you also have the added security concerns that come on top of that.
Well, you know, I'm reminded of a story that came out of Russia a few months ago about some company that was a pretty big supplier of parts to maintenance shops over there, and there were actual criminal charges brought in Russia against this company for essentially turning out parts that were not what they were claimed to be. Is this the kind of thing we're worried about? Are we worried about terrorists? Or are we worried about just people who don't have the skills required and the work getting passed off anywhere? What are the specific things that are a problem here?
Well, it's probably a little bit of everything. You know, you have the suppliers of parts quite obviously haven't been monitored the way they should have been, because everybody has an anecdotal story about how a particular part came to an airline and it wasn't ready for service, even though it had the proper tag on it saying that it was ready for service. But the skill level of mechanics at outsource vendors, some of them are probably very good, and we're not attacking individual mechanics or even the concept of outsourcing in general. It's just, how can you have this maintenance burden spread out to so many different vendors and have it properly monitored? It was difficult enough when things were done under one or two roofs. Now you've got several hundreds or thousands of roofs to monitor, and it's not being taken care of properly.
All right. Now, what would you recommend to people who are airline passengers who may have a casual interest in this only because it affects their safety? What would you encourage people to do if they're concerned about this issue?
Learn the facts, read about what's going on. Both sides have some very good arguments, but somewhere in the middle, we have to be able to maintain our aviation infrastructure in the United States without sending it overseas, without transferring the skill and the jobs overseas, or even to internal facilities inside the United States where they're mostly non-union and in right-to-work states. And I'll address that real quickly, that one of our key concerns is that for a mechanic with an AMP license at an airline, it's hard enough for him to sometimes bring up a safety concern without actually getting fired or possibly having his job threatened. Now imagine, if you will, if you're a mechanic at an outsourced maintenance facility where there is no union to protect you, and you may be in a country where they don't actually respect the rule of law. If somebody raises a safety concern, they'll say, well, that's very nice, but now you don't have a job anymore. That's part of the safety net that she enjoys.
I hadn't thought of it from that standpoint, but I can appreciate how that could be an issue if it becomes general knowledge that if you bring up a safety concern, you won't be working there anymore.
Right, but we will never know how many people have been talked out of bringing something up. But a lot of the changes that have been made in aviation safety over the years have come out of the United States because of people and unions concerned about what's happening, and they have an advocate on their side that tries to focus this energy. And we don't see that at the non-union facilities or even other countries.
All right. Well, Joe, if someone wants to get both sides of this story, what are good sources? Do you guys have commentary on this on your website?
We are going to be writing more about the general concept of outsourcing. The specifics around the audit would be on our website. And then you could also, the Aviation Repair Station Association of America has a website that addresses counterpoints on a lot of this stuff as well.
We will include those as FMI links where our listeners can find that on our website. Joe, thanks again. I know you're in a crazy schedule today, and we appreciate you taking a few minutes out to talk to our listeners.
Okay, thank you.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.